we're always focused on making the best possible team we can make. This did become a distraction.
Tonight, cutting bait. Following days of controversy, the Jays signal plans to part ways with Anthony Bass. Good evening. We'll bring you reaction to that story shortly, but we begin tonight with a race for Toronto's mayor as we head into a weekend of advanced voting.
The campaign's nearing the finish line, and for most of it, there's been a clear frontrunner until now. Our Natalie Johnson joins us, and Natalie, this is looking more like a race and not a runaway election.
Yeah, exactly, Nathan. Olivia Chow is still hanging on to her lead, though her numbers are slipping, and the latest poll has someone new creeping up behind her in second.
Anna Bailao is gaining ground in her quest to lead City Hall.
I've been feeling the momentum. People want to make sure that the mayor is focusing on an affordable life, an easier life, not on Olivia Chow increasing their property taxes by we don't know how much.
Bailao has been boosted to second place in the latest poll, with Olivia Chow's lead slipping under mounting attacks from her rivals.
If they want to attack, you know what, that's not my style. I much rather say, look at what are the common grounds that we have.
Main Street Research reports that Chow is down 3 points from last week, now at 29% support. Bailao within striking distance at 20%. Mark Saunders has 13%, Josh Matlow at 11%. Anthony Fury and Mitzi Hunter are tied with 9%, Brad Bradford at 4%.
I started pretty low in the polls and I've been trending up, and I'm just working hard to continue building that momentum.
When I look at the polls, you know, I can't help but remember Barack Obama, you know? There were no polls that were predicting what would be the outcome there, but we still had a wonderful change election. I believe that we are in for a change election as well.
Mitzi Hunter out promoting her property tax plan that would include a 6% hike, reduced to 3% for households with income less than $80,000.
My promise is that I will not raise taxes above the rate of inflation.
Mark Saunders insisting he can find the money to hire 600 uniformed officers to crack down on crime on the TTC.
On Tuesday, Olivia Chow said the TTC is safe. She does not have a clue as to what TTC riders are experiencing.
Saunders has been calling for the other candidates to back him to overtake Chow.
So no appeal to your fellow candidates to back you at this point?
I welcome everybody to appeal. They're Torontonians as well, but my appeal is to all Torontonians.
The question is whether Chow can hang on to her lead.
What we've called on Twitter, Chowmentum. This could just be a natural impact of that or the beginning of Chowmageddon.
Now on day two of advanced polls, the clock is running out.
And if you're interested in casting your ballot before Election Day, advanced polling will run through the weekend until Tuesday. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Nathan, over to you.
All right, thank you, Natalie. There are fresh warnings tonight aimed at protecting some of the more vulnerable people in our cities.
Police in York Region say they've nabbed two criminals for stealing from the elderly using diversions and sometimes violence. CTV's John Musselman joins us now from Vaughan. John, police think there may be more victims.
That's right. There may be more victims. And what's really concerning to police is these are seniors who are just trying to help other people, and then they're being victimized. This police surveillance photo shows the accused placing a cheap necklace around the victim's neck while removing his more valuable one without him even knowing it. A distraction theft that has been targeting seniors in Vaughan recently.
These people that are being targeted are good-natured people who are trying to help somebody. They're trying to provide directions. They're trying to be friendly.
Police say in at least two separate cases, the alleged thefts turned violent. A 77-year-old man was dragged a short distance beside a moving vehicle when the suspects tried to remove a gold chain. In a second incident, a 63-year-old woman was assaulted when they tried to remove her necklace. In both cases, the thieves pulled up in a car and made it look like they were lost and needed directions.
They would try to gift the person that they're talking to with some costume jewelry. And they would make an attempt to put that jewelry on the person, whether on their hand or on around their neck. And in the course of so doing, they would then try to deftly remove the actual jewelry that those people were wearing.
Two 26-year-olds have been arrested, a man and a woman. They are both charged with robbery and possession of stolen property. CTV News did a similar story in 2020 when a North York man opened his front door to a woman he didn't know. She placed a fake gold chain around his neck and removed a real gold chain he was wearing. Crime Stoppers has done a video warning the public about this scam and how quickly distraction thefts can happen.
So if any strangers approach in a vehicle asking for directions or engaging in unexpected conversation, we would suggest that you be wary, that you perhaps keep a safe distance away.
York Regional Police say there may be more victims out there. If you recognize the two accused, you are asked to contact police.
And the accused will appear in a Newmarket court on July the 13th. Reporting live in Vaughan, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
All right. Thank you, John. Still ahead tonight, no momentum. Concerns over a potential labor market slowdown across Canada and what the employment picture looks like closer to home.
Peel police have made an arrest after a series of break-and-enters in Mississauga. Investigators say there were at least three incidents reported Monday morning near Credit Woodlands. Property and money were allegedly stolen. In one case, police say a homeowner was assaulted and suffered minor injuries. 35-year-old Matthew Ward of Mississauga faces several charges, including assault, sexual assault, and break-and-enter.
There's a notable improvement in our air quality today. Wildfire smoke in Toronto cleared after blanketing the city for several days. Conditions have improved for much of southern Ontario, as well as Ottawa. But air quality statements were in place today for parts of northern Ontario and western Quebec. Environment Canada expects some smoke will move back over southern Ontario and Quebec on the weekend, but at lower concentrations.
With that said, there are still more than 140 active blazes in Quebec. In Nova Scotia, the largest ever wildfire there continues to burn out of control. But most evacuation orders in the province have been lifted. Firefighters are also still battling flames in Alberta, BC, the Northwest Territories, and Ontario. More than 43,000 square kilometers has burned in Canada so far this year.
And a live look at our city right now from our CTV news shopper. The wildfire smoke has moved out, making for a much better outdoor experience. The only reason you might want to be indoors now is if it rains. Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at the current conditions. We needed the smoke to clear and we needed wet weather, so we got both.
Yes, we are winning on the weather front, Nathan. Overall, what a difference on this map compared to the last couple of days. That air quality has improved dramatically, and we will see further improvement as we make our way into the weekend. Let's talk about the current air quality health index. It's a 4 in Toronto. That's still moderate, so be mindful if you do have respiratory illnesses or sensitivities. Speaking of rain, we've got some right now just to the east of the GTA. There have been some sprinkles in the greater Toronto area today, so that, yes, is helping clear out the air a little bit. Another change, the change in wind direction, and we're going to see that happen again tomorrow, coming from more of a westerly flow, and that's going to help push some of the smoke out as well. It's currently 21 degrees here in the city of Toronto. We are forecasting an overnight low of 13, holding on to the chance of showers early this evening. Tomorrow is looking like a really lovely day, but we will get some rain before the weekend is finished. We'll take you through the forecast coming up. For now, Michelle, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Police have a person in custody tonight after three people were hit by a car near Dovercourt in Dundas. This was shortly after 1 p.m. The victims were taken to hospital with minor injuries. No word yet on any charges.
Meanwhile, a driver is facing charges after a dangerous moment last night on the 401 in Etobicoke. Police say the wheel flew off the rear end of an SUV and hit several other vehicles. This happened in the westbound lanes near Dixon at around 10:30 at night. Two people were taken to hospital with minor injuries. Insurers across Canada say they've paid out $1 billion in the past year for stolen cars.
The problem is driving up your premiums and making criminals rich. John Woodward joins us now with a CTV News investigation about one man whose extra security in his vehicle made a big difference, John, even if it didn't quite go as planned.
Yeah, Michelle, that security feature was a big factor in stopping his car from joining the thousands that are stolen and never seen again. But it took some quick thinking by that owner to actually make it work.
Two suspects approached this 2023 Toyota Highlander, breaking a window to get inside. While one waits, the other starts the car.
35 seconds later, the car is gone off the driveway.
The car's owner called the York Regional Police, who came right away, and it looked like he had an ace up his sleeve, the vehicle's tracking system that told him where it was going. But he says he couldn't get Toyota to share that information with the police.
And it took us 25 minutes nowhere, so we kind of lost timing.
His low-tech workaround, screenshots that showed the car moving. He sent them to the officer, and the chase was on.
The officers in Durham were able to get a sighting of the stolen vehicle. Unfortunately, the vehicle fled from them and got back onto the 401 and began traveling east.
The car joining thousands of others in a surge of auto thefts that shows no signs of stopping. In Ontario, thefts up 48% year over year. In Quebec, 50%. In Alberta, 18%. And in Atlantic Canada, 35%. The tech tricks they use, defeating security on the newest cars and selling them for big markups overseas. 61% of cars that are stolen are 2017 models or newer in Ontario. In Quebec, that number is 75%. It all adds up to a $1 billion loss last year for insurers, the highest ever, and a huge windfall for criminals.
They gain more than $1 billion because organized crime groups are selling these vehicles for more than what the value of the payouts would be.
As for the location sharing delay for Toyota, it says it needs a police report before sharing anything with officers. York Regional Police say in the end they found that Highlander in a ditch off the 401, maybe because the crooks knew they were being followed.
The vehicle had significant damage and it was left abandoned.
A cost to insurers, but at least the thieves didn't make any money.
The owner is grateful to the OPP, whose officers ultimately found that car. The insurers say even when the tracking doesn't quite work, it's much better than having no tracking at all, but say that key security flaw, and that is the push-button ignition that allows the car to start without a second feature like a key, that is remaining unchanged. Many new cars are rolling off the factory with that still intact. They're hoping other drivers add extra security on top of what they buy a new car with as well. Reporting live from Vaughan, I'm John Woodward. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, John. And if you have a story you'd like us to investigate, let us know. You can send us an email or visit our website for secure and anonymous ways to get in touch.
The city's ombudsman is out with a scathing new report on the Toronto Community Housing Corporation. The report says TCHC failed to properly address human rights complaints by community housing residents. You can read the full findings and the corporation's response on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
We have breaking news from Ottawa. The man tasked with investigating foreign interference has stepped down. David Johnston says his goal was to build trust, but due to the partisan atmosphere surrounding his appointment, the former governor general said today it had the opposite effect. Johnston was appointed by the prime minister, but all three opposition parties have been demanding he step aside because of his ties to the Trudeau family. They want a public inquiry, something Johnston opposed. The latest job numbers are out, showing Canada's first increase in unemployment in nearly a year.
The impacts of a shifting labor market were felt across the country and here in Ontario. In this province, Stats Canada says 24,000 jobs were lost last May. At the same time, Ontario gained 20,000 jobs in the goods-producing sector and manufacturing. Here in Toronto, employment levels held steady. With a look at the employment picture across the country, here's CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver.
Now hiring signs are plastered on stores and restaurants across the country. But finding people to fill the vacancies has been almost impossible for the owners of this Italian grocery store in Ottawa.
It is the most stressful work environment that I've had. I've been here almost 30 years and I've never seen anything like it. It's constantly searching for staff and, you know, we've done what we can. We're actually looking at bringing in some foreign workers.
Unemployment in Canada is at near historic lows, but there are early signs that trend may be changing. In May, 17,000 jobs were lost, raising the unemployment rate to 5.2%, the first increase since August 2022. The losses, driven by youth unemployment for those 15 to 24, now at its highest rate since October 2022.
We're seeing less
entry-level roles than we would have been at least pre-pandemic.
The job numbers come just days after the Bank of Canada raised interest rates for the first time since January in an effort to cool rising inflation.
It's kind of going in the wrong direction. We were expecting it to kind of come back down.
But analysts say the bank's efforts will likely include another rate hike unless unemployment rises drastically.
We'd probably need to see way more weakness in other economic indicators before the next meeting for them to change their course.
The Bank of Canada will make its next interest rate decision in July. But before that happens, new GDP, inflation, and job numbers will be out, helping to paint a broader picture of the economy. Annie Bergeron-Oliver, CTV News, Ottawa.
Looking north of the city, three children reported missing this morning have all been found. Bracebridge OPP had indicated they were searching for a 7, 12, and 15-year-old. They had last been seen in the Wata-Mohawk territory, not far from Bala. By early afternoon, police said all three had been located safe.
The Jays are parting ways with their controversial picture. Anthony Bass has been facing criticism over his apparent homophobic views.
The team made the roster move as a weekend of Pride festivities is set to begin. Our Zoraida Allman joins us now. Zoraida, what are the Jays saying about their decision?
Well, Michelle and Nathan, in many ways, taking Anthony Bass off the roster just hours before Jays Pride night might say it all. He was also supposed to catch the ceremonial first pitch at tonight's game. Bass will not be catching that pitch or throwing any for the Jays, for that matter, for the foreseeable future.
Reliever Anthony Bass has been relieved of his duties on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. The team says they informed the 35-year-old today that he has been designated for assignment.
Any conversation like that is tough whenever you're given a player that kind of news, so kind of as to be expected. Delivered the news and kind of moved on.
The decision comes more than a week after Bass shared a video on social media urging people to boycott American retailer Target for their support for the LGBTQ2S+ community. The backlash resulted in him taking it down.
I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine. And I am truly sorry for that.
And apologizing. But then last night, he addressed it again. When asked if he thought the video was hateful, his answer was no.
The video itself, obviously I took it down. I just felt like it was too much of a distraction, right? But I stand by my personal beliefs, and everyone's entitled to their personal beliefs, right? But also, I mean no harm towards any groups of people.
But if not becoming a distraction was the motivation behind taking the offensive video down, it appears for the Jays ball club, it may have been too little, too late.
This did become a distraction and something that was a variable in that decision.
Still, GM Ross Atkins says this was primarily a baseball decision. Bass had an earned run average of just under 5 in his 20 appearances this season.
Again, it comes back to making tough decisions with the focus being building the best team we can build, and that's how we made this one.
Meanwhile, starting pitcher Mitch White has been reinstated after an injury and will now fill the spot on the 40-man roster.
And the term designated for assignment basically means not only is Bass removed from the roster, but within 7 days he can either be traded, sent to the minors, or placed on waivers, which would allow other major league clubs to claim him. I'm Zoraida Allman. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Zoraida. Coming up, a visit to remember. Toronto's newest museum dedicated to ensure future generations never forget a horrific event of our past.
In Ukraine, evidence is growing that there was an explosion at a dam around the time it ruptured. A Norwegian research foundation says data collected from regional seismic stations showed clear signals of a blast. And U.S. spy satellites reportedly detected an explosion. The breach unleashed mass flooding, forcing thousands of people to flee. Officials on both sides say about 20 people have died in the flooding. It is a historic moment in the U.S. Donald Trump is the first former president to face criminal charges.
He's accused of mishandling classified documents and taking them from the White House to his home in Florida. CTV's Joy Malbin has the details.
He's the first former president ever to face federal charges. In a damning 49-page indictment, Trump faces 37 counts in connection with the hundreds of classified documents seized at his Florida estate.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with felony violations of our national security laws.
from obstruction to the willful retention of national defense documents, from nuclear secrets, military capabilities of foreign countries, and documents marked top secret for the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, which includes Canada.
Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced. Violations of those laws put our country at risk.
Walt Nauta, a close Trump aide, also charged as a co-conspirator. At Trump's direction, it's alleged Nauta hid and moved boxes of classified files around Trump's Florida estate, stored casually in the bathroom, the shower, a public ballroom, and showed to others, including a top-secret U.S. plan of attack. Trump spoke about it at a meeting at his Bedminster Golf Club. Late yesterday, the former president claimed innocence.
I did nothing wrong, and we'll fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years.
Still the frontrunner in this presidential race, his Republican rivals are defending him, at least for now.
In America, everyone is entitled to be presumed innocent until they're proven guilty. Pray for the former president and his family.
In a shakeup, two of Trump's lawyers have suddenly resigned. The former president is set to appear before a federal courthouse in Miami next week in what the prosecution hopes will be a speedy trial. Joy Malvin, CTV News, Washington.
In the UK, Boris Johnson is stepping down as a lawmaker, accusing opponents of trying to drive him out. The former prime minister made the announcement after being told he will be sanctioned for misleading Parliament. It was related to a series of government parties held during a pandemic lockdown. Johnson called the committee investigating him a kangaroo court and hinted he might return at some point. There's a new venue opening its doors to our city tonight with the aim to ensure we never forget.
It's a technologically advanced facility dedicated to a dark moment in our past, Toronto's Holocaust Museum. Queen's Park Bureau Chief Siobhan Morris has this look.
It's a labor of love that took 40 years to shape.
It's an immersive educational experience that was really built to engage the next generation in learning about the Holocaust.
So this is the first of four galleries.
10,000 square feet of art, exhibitions, and reflections from those who lived through the atrocities of the Holocaust.
I am absolutely heartbroken that I'm ending my life in a similar atmosphere than started before our deportations, that the same ideologies managed to survive.
Ideologies of fascism, far-right extremism, and hate. Judy Cohen is one of 70 survivors whose words have been preserved to share for many years to come.
It's the voices of Toronto survivors. It's their stories about what happened to them during the war and their arrival here in Toronto. And we make links to other parts of Canadian history.
Naomi Azraeli sees this moment as being on a bridge.
A bridge of time between memory and history. And standing on this bridge, we know also that the approach of the museum builds bridges. It builds bridges of empathy.
Empathy that leads to an openness to learning and understanding.
We were broken in spirit, broken in heart, broken in body.
But Nate Lipsiger says the story of the Holocaust survivor is not complete, urging action from the second generation born into trauma.
We're born when we didn't speak about the things that happened to us. And these children wondered, who were their parents? How come they didn't have grandparents and uncles and aunts? That story has to be told.
Siobhan Morris, CTV News.
An Ottawa girl is set to become the youngest university graduate in Canadian history at just 12 years old.
I'm very excited for, you know, the convocation tomorrow. I'm very excited for what comes next for me. And I'm very proud of myself for, you know, getting here at this stage in my life.
How about that? Anthea Grace Patricia Dennis will don her cap and gown at the University of Ottawa graduation tomorrow. She's accepting a bachelor's degree in biomedical science. Patricia Dennis started the program when she was just 9, and she's taken the summer off before pursuing a post-grad. Coming up on CTV News, bovine burping. Just ahead, why researchers on a southern Ontario farm are studying gassy cattle.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, if you drive on the 407, you'll have to pay the toll charges. But a woman from Vaughan says she got a 407 bill, even though she never used the highway. It turned out someone copied her license plate, so she would get the bill. We investigate. I'll have that story just ahead.
So gone for now, but not for good. We do still have some smoke in the atmosphere, and our air quality health index number will be a 4 for tomorrow. The weekend is looking pretty nice, especially Saturday, but a couple of question marks around Sunday. We have a big low pressure system that's going to bring us quite a soaking Sunday night and into the day on Monday. It's much needed, but how much will it impact the daytime hours on Sunday? We'll take you through the forecast and stay with us. We've got another full night of great shows for you right here on CTV.
If you drive on the 407, you can expect to get a bill with toll charges for using the highway.
But a woman from Vaughan was shocked to get a bill for multiple trips, even though she was sure she never used the highway. Pat Foran has our story on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, the woman was surprised to get a bill from the 407 for 3 trips taken in April. But when she checked her calendar, she realized she wasn't even in the city at the time. It turned out to be fraud. Someone had copied her license plate.
I just came back and I saw a bill at my door and I picked it up and it says 407.
Obiama DK of Vaughan says she was baffled why she would get a bill from the 407 for 3 trips taken in April. When she checked her schedule, she noticed she was on vacation at the time. The bill said the trips took place.
This doesn't seem right. I wasn't around. I wasn't in the city and this was like multiple crossings.
The bill was for $61, but for DK, it wasn't just about the money. She was positive she didn't use the highway for the trips. She told the 407, so they sent her a photo of a car that looked like hers with her license plate number.
They did send me the pictures, and I was shocked to see that it was exactly my plate number.
But what DK also noticed was that while the car was similar to hers, it was actually a different year with different features. Someone had duplicated her license plates and put them on a vehicle very similar to hers.
The suspect vehicle was, in fact, trying to impersonate the victim's vehicle.
407 ETR told CTV News this appears to be a case of fraud where the person's license plate number was duplicated. 407 ETR will always reverse charges for customers if we can confirm the criminal misuse of their license plate. There are other issues with license plates peeling, fading, and even being hidden with remote control devices. Police say drivers have also been caught altering their plates to avoid red light cameras and toll charges.
We have seen it in the past, and we certainly don't want this to continue. And those drivers that do that will certainly be held accountable under the law.
After the 407 investigated, DK was told she didn't have to pay the bill. She did have to change her license plates and called the situation frustrating.
This is not my fault that this happened, so... Again, it's costing me money, it's costing me time, it's costing me grief.
And if you get a 407 bill and you're sure you didn't use the highway, you should contact the 407. If your plates have been duplicated, call the police and report them as lost or stolen and return them to the Ministry of Transportation. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, did you know? You can feel it out there, right? The air is so much easier to breathe, although if you look at the skyline, it doesn't necessarily look clear, but there is the pollution that we've had for much of this week.
Yeah, when I heard that the air quality statement was lifted, mm-hmm. It was a nice relief, especially going into the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. The timing is perfect. I think a lot of people are going to want to venture outside after a few days of indoor recesses and just simply not spending that time. And the weather is going to cooperate, at least for Saturday. Might be a little bit of a different story on Sunday, but we are going to get some much needed rain Sunday night and into the day on Monday. I can hear gardeners rejoicing from here. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. What a difference on this map compared to even 24, 48 hours ago. We had reds and purples. Now we are seeing a very much improved air quality on our surface smoke forecast. Big improvements into the day tomorrow, partly thanks to a change in wind direction. direction. We're going to see those winds coming out of the west for tomorrow. We'll have variable cloudiness. Right now, we have a couple of thunderstorms rumbling through eastern sections of Ontario. If you're joining us from Bob Cajun down to Newtonville, some thunder and lightning in the Omimi area. Here in the GTA, we have a chance of showers for this evening. You'll notice it's a little more unsettled the closer you get to the Ottawa Valley, all thanks to that same low that continues to spin. But it's a different one that's going to bring us the wet weather come Sunday and into the day on Monday. Tomorrow, though, clearing in the morning and then variable clouds, but a good amount of sun. So enjoy that. Temperatures are also going to be warm. There's a look at Saturday evening. It's possible a couple of spotty showers could develop. Here's Sunday during the day. So at this point, it's looking as though we could be in for a few showers. The precipitation becomes steadier and heavier through the overnight, and we're going to be waking up to some wet weather on Monday morning. How much? Well, at this point, it's looking like anywhere from 20 to 30 millimeters could fall. What a change from the last couple of weeks. Overnight tonight, we drop to a low of 13. That's seasonal. Tomorrow is going to be, dare I say, hot all of a sudden because we've been a little bit cool the last couple of days. 27 degrees is what we're forecasting. Let's take you through the 7-day forecast. It really is our only hot day. We're back to seasonal or slightly below it as we make our way through the second half of the weekend. Tuesday looks to be a particularly cool day, hanging on to a chance of showers. But I'm happy to report we will return to mostly sunny skies Wednesday right through to next Friday with temperatures back where we expect them to be at this time of year. That's the weather for now. Nathan, I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. It was a long day for two astronauts aboard the International Space Station. The pair installed new solar arrays during a 7-hour spacewalk. The panels will enhance power generation at the orbiting lab. Each one should produce more than 20 kilowatts of electricity and provide a 30% increase in power once they're put in place.
Two giant bath toys are making a splash in Hong Kong. These 18-meter-tall pop art projects were drawing a crowd in the harbor today. The artist who created them says he hopes they bring joy to the city, helping people connect. You might remember a very similar-looking deck was in Toronto in 2007, but it was made by a different artist. There will be another one here in September.
Well, did you know that cows burp? And not only is it rude, but bad for the environment.
Their burping ways are the focus of researchers at the University of Guelph who are on a mission to breed better cattle that belch less atmosphere-warming methane.
It's hard to imagine a cute cow like this could produce such a dangerous gas.
Methane has a global warming potential 28 times that of carbon dioxide.
Almost 14% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from one source: burping livestock. But the University of Guelph and Ontario Dairy Research Centre are working to change that.
Over the past several years, our team has been working on trying to deliver a genetic evaluation for methane emission and feed efficiency in dairy cattle.
Christine Bays has led a team of researchers in developing a new tool that's being used to predict how much methane will be produced by a dairy cow. It means breeders can now select which cows will produce calves that, when fully grown, will belch out less greenhouse gas.
We're really proud that this research has resulted in Canada being the first country worldwide to be able to deliver genetic evaluations for methane emissions.
So how does the tool work? Cows put their heads into these green feed machines, and as they eat their hearty meal, paired with heavy breathing and burping, they produce data.
So when the animal is breathing, those gases are taken up by the machine and measured.
And with about 500 cows here at the research center, that's a lot of burps to measure.
But what risk does passing gas from the back passage pose?
Many people do think that the problematic gas comes out the back end, but that's not the case. About 95% of the enteric methane emissions are coming out of the front end of the animal.
So, in Christine's case, she's thankful she can continue her research laser-focused on this end.
It's a little bit nicer, yeah.
Rather than this end. Spencer Turcotte, CTV News, Guelph.
Also tonight, voicing concerns about voice cloning, the potential for AI to encroach on the creative space and take work away from real actors.
Oh, Frogman Goops!
Yes, I forgot.
There are growing worries in Hollywood North over the rise of digital doubles.
Actors say if left unchecked, advances in artificial intelligence could dramatically alter their industry forever. And as CTV's Tamina Aziz explains, there are signs it's already happening.
And once we capture him, we will trap him in the sphere forever!
With an impressive vocal range, Bill Newton can be heard in big-name projects, including My Little Pony and Lego Marvel. But now the actor is voicing his concerns about AI cloning his speech.
So my voice in particular, on one of the websites that stores AI-created models, has been used 481 times.
Shocked and angry, Newton wonders what his voice is being used for. Thankfully, it hasn't impacted him booking gigs, but wonders if it might in the future, and what's going to happen to the quality of work.
There's a lot of corporations, producers, studios that will look at things and the savings they can make and just consider it good enough. And that's the last thing we want.
The dominant use of these tools, though, are for good and to benefit humanity.
This UBC professor says AI should be used as a creative tool.
So just how easy is it to use an AI-generated voice? It takes just minutes.
I am, in fact, an AI-generated voice model.
Pretty crazy right now, the fact that we can do this.
But it's not perfect.
And interpreting written text like this.
Interpreting.
Actors, though, need to be really aware that the technology exists. But I'm going to say this, too. Not just actors, but everybody. Because your voice can be cloned, mine can be cloned.
With Hollywood writers on strike, many in the entertainment industry are keen about negotiating their contracts and implementing protections.
There are a lot of policies that are being developed nationally and also internationally to take on these types of ethical dilemmas that AI is surfacing.
I think people want work made by people.
Experts and advocates say we're in the early days of voice cloning, so now's the time to regulate it. Tamina Aziz, CTV News, Vancouver.
Several artists are out with new music today, including one former One Direction member, Niall Horan. This is the title track from Horan's new album, The Show. It's the Irish singer's third solo record. He says he's been working on it for years, and he can't even put into words how excited he is to share it with fans. And K-pop enthusiasts have a new song to listen to.
Can't you see the take two? Story's still funny just for you.
BTS released this track called Take Two today. Billboard reports the song was created as a nod to the band's second chapter and an ode to their fans. The K-pop group has been focusing more on solo projects recently as members carry out their military service in Korea. They'll celebrate their 10-year anniversary as a band next week.
After more than a decade on the air, The Marilyn Dennis Show aired its final episode this morning. Marilyn thanked her team and loved ones before sharing a message for her viewers.
Thank you for watching and supporting me, not only for these past 13 seasons, but for the past 34 years doing daytime television. Again, it's been a privilege. And that is a wrap with a big bow on it. Thank you, everybody. Mwah.
The final episode was filled with surprise guests, audience giveaways, and much more as Marilyn Dennis said farewell. CTV's new daytime series, The Good Stuff with Mary Berg, premieres this fall.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Hey there, Toronto. I'm Teddy Wilson.
And I'm Nicole Servinus. Welcome to Things to Know, T.O.
Each week, we shine a spotlight on a wide variety of local businesses, services, events, and initiatives from across the GTA.
These companies are part of what makes Toronto one of the world's most vibrant cities and a great place to live, work, and play.
Join us Saturday mornings for Things to Know, T.O.
And visit us online at thingstoknowto.ca.
This could just be a natural impact of that, or the beginning of Chalmageddon.
Updating our top stories, there are signs the race to be Toronto's mayor is tightening. New polls suggest Olivia Chow's lead is narrowing, with Anna Bailao now closing in. Advance voting ends Tuesday. The election is June 26.
They were always focused on making the best possible team we can make. This did become a distraction.
Also, the Jays moved to cut ties with Anthony Bass. The pitcher caused recent controversy over some apparent anti-LGBTQ2S+ views. The Jays have a week to either trade Bass or put him on waivers.
It's an immersive educational experience.
And Toronto opens its first museum dedicated to remembering the Holocaust. Organizers with the facility say it will help keep survivors' stories alive while teaching new generations about the horrors of genocide.
On the markets, the loonie traded up 4 points to 74.93 U.S. American oil slipped $1.11 to 70.33 a barrel. And the TSX fell a little over 50 points to end the week at 19,892.
If you're planning to take the TTC this weekend, there's a major subway closure to keep in mind. Seven stations on Line 2 will be out of service both Saturday and Sunday. Trains will be halted between Broadview and Woodbine for track work. Shuttle buses will be running instead. Regular subway service will resume in time for the morning rush on Monday.
And an important reminder for GO Train passengers. Starting at 9 tonight, part of the Lakeshore West Line will shut down till Monday morning. Shuttle buses will be running between West Harbor and Oakville GO stations. Service between Oakville and Union will run as normal. You can find full details on the closures on our GO Transit website.
WestJet says it will wind down its Swoop brand by late October. It's been marketed as an ultra-low-cost carrier since it began flying in 2018. The closure comes after pilots at WestJet and Swoop secured a 24% pay bump over 4 years on a tentative deal. WestJet CEO says it made little sense to keep the brand separate as labor costs grow, but each WestJet flight will offer some lower-cost tickets.
Well, it looks like Netflix efforts to crack down on password sharing in the U.S. are having the intended effect. After imposing a similar rule in Canada, the streaming service is now banning U.S. users from sharing accounts with people they don't live with. Data from research firm Antenna show that daily signups for Netflix went way up after that rule took effect last month. Nearly 100,000 people in the U.S. registered new accounts on May 26th and 27th. That was bigger than the spike seen at the start of pandemic lockdowns. Just ahead, a Canadian-made innovation in hockey gear, a jersey designed to make the ice safer for hockey players. How does it work? We'll show you just ahead. A Canadian will head into the weekend tied for second at the Canadian Open. Corey Connors is one shot off the lead at minus eight, tied with three other golfers after the second round at Toronto's Oakdale Club. The Listowel man shared the lead after round one yesterday. Some other Canadians also playing well include Adam Hadwin and Will Bateman, who are 4 and 5 shots back, respectively.
Meanwhile, a Canadian is headed to the women's doubles final at Roland Garros.
Je sais le match dans un instant.
Layla Fernandez and American partner Taylor Townsend beat their second-seeded opponents today. They will face an unseeded duo from Taiwan and China in Sunday's final of the French Open. It would be the first Grand Slam victory of any kind for Fernandez. We leave you tonight with a story a lot of hockey parents will want to know about. It involves a piece of Canadian-made tech.
As CTV's Nav Sanga explains, the inventor believes it could help keep your kids safe during one of the most rough and tumble parts of the sport.
Braun and Krause that time got upended, and oh my goodness.
If you watch hockey or play it, you're bound to see someone slide into the boards.
Come off that back wall.
Sometimes resulting in concussions or other significant injuries.
Right now that doesn't look good.
Chuck Bourne spoke with parents and players who have their own horror stories of sliding into the boards.
I heard people experiencing it themselves, or they saw somebody get hurt, or their child got hurt.
And the idea for his anti-slide jersey was born.
I thought there should be some way to prevent that or help that.
He created SafeSlide, a special blend of polyester and polyamide. This video shows how far players slide with a regular jersey. And this is with Bourne's Safe Slide jersey. Players stop at half the distance.
It is a microfiber as well, so that it will grab the ice, if you will, or inhibit the sliding.
Bourne has patented SafeSide in the U.S. and Canada and is in talks with manufacturers. Minor Hockey League coaches in Lacombe say they are surprised someone hasn't thought of this idea before and are very interested.
This is certainly something different, something new, and something that I'm sure a lot of associations will look at as time progresses.
Bourne says his dream is to see his jersey worn by kids and adults in the minor leagues and hopefully even in the pros.
It would make me feel very gratified if I could help prevent injuries, if what I've come up with would serve to prevent a lot of pain.
Nav Sanga, CTV News, Lacombe.
All right, I'm sure many people looking forward to maybe getting back outside this weekend if they can.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not doing any ice skating outdoors because, yes, it's been a little bit cool lately, but we are still heading into summer. Speaking of, let's take a look at some summertime thunderstorms that are rumbling through southern Ontario, including through the Peterborough area, where I understand there's been a couple of power outages as a result of that. Much quieter around the GTA. Tomorrow's looking like a warm and generally pleasant day. The air quality is expected to be better in many areas, too. It's going to be a 4 on the air quality health index for us here locally. If you're headed to the cottage or a campground, here's a look at what you can expect this weekend. Generally a little more unsettled on Sunday and certainly into Sunday night and Monday. We are going to get a decent helping of rain. The middle part of next week is looking drier at this point. And a reminder about the new Lotto 649 with two big jackpots to be won on one ticket. Saturday's classic jackpot is $5 million, and the new gold ball jackpot is $40 million. You can head to olg.ca for more information. Good luck, Michelle and Nathan.
Thanks, Lindsay. Well, that's it for us, but be sure to join John Venevalli Rao tonight at 11 for CTV National News, followed by Zoraida Allman with our next local newscast at 11:30.
In the meantime, our coverage continues anytime on CP24 and online at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
For Lindsay Morrison and all of us here at CTV News, thank you for watching, and we leave you tonight with images from north of our city as the snowbirds get ready for this weekend's Barrie Air Show. Have a great night.